Jesus Christ said, "I will build my church." For more than 2,000 years, he's been doing all that he promised. Today, his church remains an assembly of his saints, providing a place for worship, fellowship, and instruction. In a world that often feels isolated and alone, church remains a place to connect. It's a place to call home. We're so glad you've chosen to connect with the family of believers at Campus Church in the Crown Center at Pensacola Christian College, as together we rejoice in the Lord.
It is right now a very special honor for me to introduce our speaker for the service today. Oftentimes when I introduce a speaker, I'll say a special guest, but I do believe that the person who's speaking today is more than a special guest at Campus Church. I would count him as part of the family of believers that makes up the body of Campus Church. I remember the very first time that I met Dr. Jim Shetler. I was a senior in high school, and I was visiting Pensacola Christian College. I was, of course, living in Michigan, and Pensacola Christian sent a tour bus up to Michigan in March, and for $15, you could get on a bus and ride to Florida. I have never seen a palm tree, but I've seen a lot of snow in Michigan in March. So I think I would have paid a far greater sum of money to be able to leave Michigan in March. I was already enrolled to go somewhere else to college, but the Lord providentially used that trip to prepare me and my heart to attend a place called Pensacola Christian College. Well, we came down on that trip, and the Varsity Commons was just being completed. And they allowed us as a small group to go in, and we had ice cream that night in the Varsity Commons here on the campus of Pensacola Christian College. And there was a new youth pastor. He had been the youth pastor of Campus Church for about a year, and he joined us that evening. I am quite confident that he does not remember the high school senior that came and that we met that first time, but I well remember. I thought immediately, I like this guy. And then as a college student, after I completed my freshman year, I asked, can I work in the youth ministry of Campus Church? And Pastor Shetler said, absolutely. And so for the next 3 years, my sophomore, junior, and senior year, I got to work very closely with someone who became quite a mentor and investor in my life personally. There are a handful of people that have had a significant impact in my life and ministry. Few have had a greater impact in my life than Dr. Jim Shetler. He served as pastor of Campus Church from 1988 to 2006, and it is a very special honor to welcome him back to the pulpit of Campus Church to preach for this 50th anniversary service.
Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 16. They've been with him for about a year, and at different times he would take them away just for some special instruction. So because he was the greatest of all teachers, teachers always have to have tests. So it's time for a little bit of a test, a little of examination. Let's see how you guys are doing. Let's see how you're going to do on the test. And so he takes them to a really great place in the far northern east corner of the land of Israel. There's a place called Caesarea Philippi. It's one of the headwaters of the Jordan in the north. It's a beautiful place. It was a place that was full of idolatry back then, and all of the other gods of the world were worshiped there in Caesarea Philippi. So Jesus thought this might be a good little classroom setting for what we're going to teach them. But let's find out how they're doing. So in Matthew chapter 16, would you look with me for a moment at verse number 13? So Jesus is alone with his own. Here he has his disciples up in this little beautiful little area. By the way, there's a mountain at the top of this Caesarea Philippi. That's where the transfiguration is going to take place in just a little bit, right after, while he's up there. But right now, he's got all his disciples together. And look with me, if you would, at verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast, the borders of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, time for a test, He asked his disciples, saying, Men, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Oh, and they said, Rabboni, some say that thou art John the Baptist. But Master, some say Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then folks, I want to share this with you. The next question is the most important question to determine your eternal destination. There is no greater question to determine where you will spend an eternity than the next question he asked. He, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Who am I? Simon Peter, who else could it have been? Simon Peter answered and said, you know, some of the greatest home run hitters strike out a lot. And Peter strikes out a lot, but I'll tell you, this one he hit out of the park. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of the Torah. You are what we've been waiting for. You are Christ, Mashiach. You're anointed. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, what happens next, and the statement is incredibly important for all of us here. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Now, look at this. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, you can believe in a historical Jesus. You can believe in a historical Jesus and not be saved. History proves that there was this one. Josephus writes of him. But it is an absolute impossibility to understand that he is the Son of God and he is your Savior without the Father allowing the Spirit to reveal that to you. Salvation is not a man thing. Salvation is a God work. And only by the Holy Spirit of God can someone come to know Christ. Now, this is very important. There is no effort, no work, no study that can get somebody to this conclusion without the working of the Spirit of God. Now, the Holy Spirit can reveal who Jesus Christ is to somebody. And they have a free will to reject that. Total depravity of man, which right here, there is no way you're going to save yourself. Total depravity of man does not mean an inability to say no to the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit reveals who Christ is, if you reject that, you will be accountable for that. You stand accountable for the light that God has given to you. But I love this because it is God who revealed that to Peter. And I'm going to tell you, as a 12-year-old boy in outside Kalamazoo, Michigan, on a youth retreat, the Holy Spirit on November 8, 1969, as a 12-year-old boy, revealed to me, growing up in a religious home, the Holy Spirit revealed to me, you need a Savior. And you're on your way to hell, and Jesus died for you. And man, I didn't understand a lot of things, but I received the gift that the Holy Spirit revealed to me in the person of Christ. This is a really cool verse there. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. But here we go. Here's our text, verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, that little stone. But now watch this. And upon this, everybody in this room, everyone together, and upon this rock, I will build my, everyone together, I will build my
church.
I will build my church. Upon this rock. Now, what is this rock? Well, technically, it's the statement that Peter just said. And we know it's Jesus Christ. But technically, it's actually the statement that he just said. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon that statement, I will build my church. Now, I want everyone to understand this morning on this 50th anniversary of the campus church. God ordained three institutions in his wisdom, in his love, in his sovereignty. God said, for the sake of mankind, you're gonna need three institutions. Number one, the family. Praise God for the family. God ordained government. Thank God for government. Government is our protection. By the way, government was never created to provide. Government was created to protect. And God in his wisdom understood that. But folks, there is a third institution. Jesus Christ did not die for the family. Jesus Christ did not come to this earth and live a perfect life for government. Jesus Christ came and died for the third institution, and that is the church. And the church is pretty special. The church is really special to God. Look at verse 18. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That is an incredible promise that he gives. I want you to see three things very quickly. Number one, I want you to see your solid rock. Number two, I want you to see your soul purpose. And number three, I want you to take your step of faith as a church. First of all, I want you to see the solid rock, and the solid rock is Jesus Christ. Now, this is very important. It is Jesus Christ that is our common bond at the campus church. It is not, well, we have a support group for cancer at the campus church, and that's really my key go-to group. No, that's not right. We had answer to cancer. I don't have a problem helping people go through cancer, but that is not the common bond of this church. Oh, no. Well, we're a bunch of teenagers, and we're kind of, no. The common bond is that we're all young or that we're all old. The common bond is not that we all come from a different part of the country and we come together here. And no, well, the common bond is that we're all connected with Pensacola Christian. No, there's hundreds of people that have nothing to do with Pensacola Christian that come to the campus church. Hey, let me explain to you what the church is. The word is ecclesia, called out. What is the common bond for the last 50 years in the campus church? We all live in Pensacola? Yeah, no. We all do this, we all, no. What is the common bond that holds all of it? What are we a called out assembly of? We have all by faith received Jesus Christ as our Savior. And the common bond that we have is our solid rock. And the solid rock on which the foundation of the church stands is Jesus Christ. Campus church, you can have all kinds of programs and ministries, but one thing don't forget, that the common bond of this church is Jesus Christ. So widows need to learn about teenagers. Teenagers need to help married couples. We don't need to all be cliquish and sit together. We are one church, and our common bond is the Lord Jesus Christ. For 50 years, what brings us together? The campus church is a group of believers in Jesus Christ that have the common bond that Christ is the solid rock. I think that's the coolest thing in the world. You're the church, folks. Number one, you're solid rock. Don't forget it. Number two, your sole purpose. And if you're taking notes, I would love to know what you just wrote down. Did you write S-O-L-E? Yeah, the sole purpose, the one and only. The one and only, the sole purpose. That's where you're headed, right? Well, you could put that down, but I wrote down another word in my outline. I wrote down S-O-U-L, because that's the purpose of the church, is souls. And we have two jobs. You know, this church thing is not that complicated. It does not take a rocket scientist to pastor a church, because if it did, I would have never pastored this church. No, it had to be, okay, of all the things I'm going to have Jim Shuttler do, Jim's going to be a pastor because Jim can, that's pretty simple. I'm telling, pastoring simple, it really is. Evangelism, discipleship. I can get this, God. I can handle this. Don't put any more points on this, God. Evangelism and discipleship. Let me tell you, folks, there is only one reason for this church. It's the souls of people. Look at the verse. Look, what a great word. And look at verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will. And folks, I'm sorry, but you just got to help me. And if you've got anything in your lungs at all on this anniversary day, can you help me? I will, everyone together, build my church. I will build my church. How do you build a church? Evangelism, discipleship. Every program, every activity, every event needs to go through the filter. Are we seeing people get saved? Are we reaching lost people through this activity, this program, this ministry? Are we discipling, and are they growing in their faith, and are they developing in their growth? There are two reasons why we come to the campus church. One, evangelism. Number two, discipleship. And I gotta tell you, it has been so cool to see God work with that. And you know what? This church is so unique in that, I said it in the video thing, it has three flocks. And it does. We have one purpose, we have one word, we have one way, and we have one common bond. But come on, we have three different flocks. There is no question that the college students are a part of this. Hey, let me tell you, when I arrived in 1975, after 2 weeks of coming to the campus church, Pastor Taylor was my pastor. I never questioned that. I never struggled with that. I do not go anywhere. Folks, it has been 18 years since I've been in the campus church. There, and I really don't think I'm exaggerating, a week does not go by that someone does not come up to me and say, Pastor Shuttler, how am I your pastor? Oh, you were my pastor for 4 years when I was a college student. And you know, they say that about Pastor Redland. He's their pastor. You cannot take the college students away from the campus church. It is so vitally important for them. But I will tell you, they got different needs. And then there's staff and faculty. That you are very unique in your needs, in what's going on in your life right now, in the ministry that God's given to you, and the demands. It is very unique flock. And then there's the campus, church family from the community. Oh, how important that community family is. Oh, you've made such a great choice by being part of this family of God. And I think it's always been so great to see how God's worked in those flocks. Your solid rock, your sole purpose, and number three, and we're done, your step of faith. Now, did you notice the very end of verse 18 and verse 19? This is where it comes in for the future, folks. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, that's your step of faith, man. You bind it. Lord, you're gonna do this, shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Would you be willing to turn to one other passage of scripture this morning? Would you take your Bibles and turn over to Exodus for just a moment as we close, to Exodus chapter 14. So the campus church has got a solid rock, and that is Jesus Christ, the foundation of the church. That is our common bond. We have a sole purpose. Why do we meet? Why call ourselves a church? Evangelism and discipleship. Everything filters through that. Everything. You go on a mission trip, evangelism. Discipleship of those going on the mission trip. Oh, man, the mission trips that we had here when I was here, and I'm sure you guys have got them bigger, better, whatever. But those were so important for our teens, for our folks in the church. But I want you to see this. It is now time for your step of faith. You have an opportunity to affect this culture, this community, Escambia County, the state of Florida, the United States, and the world from the launching pad of what we call the campus church. And you need, as a church, to take your step of faith. That means individuals. What is your step of faith? Well, when God starts doing this, then we'll get involved. No. Look with me, Exodus 14, 2.5 million people are on a dead end, at a dead end. They are at a place called Baal Zephon, Pihahiroth, Haroth, and Migdol. They are locked in. They are at the end of a road, and in front of them is a huge body of water called the Red Sea. There is no place for them to go. They have nothing that they can do. They are stuck at this cul-de-sac, and they see in the horizon dust, and they understand that Pharaoh's army is coming to kill them. And boy, they get upset with Moses. Would to God, you would have just left us. Would to God, we would have just stayed in Egypt. What have you done, Moses? They're gonna come and they're gonna kill us. Now look at this. And Moses gets up. Man, this is good stuff. Look at verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Look at the next statement. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? So I have tried to figure out exactly what just occurred. But this is what I picture. Moses is looking at those Israelites, and he says something. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the Egyptians who you have served, you will see again no more. The Lord will fight for you and save you. You can just see him talking to the Israelites. And then I get this. I get this picture. He turns around and he looks out over the Red Sea. And he's got his rod in his hand. And he does one of these. Lord, now, God, do something. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God, Lord, do something. Stand still. And God says, campus church, wherefore criest thou unto me? Look at this. Speak unto the children of the campus church, that they, everyone in this room, what are the next two words? That they what? That they go forward. You look that up in Strong's Concordance. The word is to pull up your tent peg. You tell them, I did the 10 plagues. I've done everything. What I have done for the people of Israel, come on, campus church, what God has done in his grace. And God says, no, no, no. The future of the campus church, we need some people that'll pull up their tent pegs and go forward and trust God. God, I can witness to my neighbor. Lord, I can bring that coworker to church. Lord, I can open up my home and I can have some unsaved people over and then we can get them involved. I can do this, I can do that, I can have a Bible club. It's time to pull up your tent pegs, campus church member, and go forward for God. Now let me tell you, the past of this church, unbelievable. But the best is yet to come. And I'll tell you the key. You give me a body of believers that pull up their tent peg and say, hey, Pastor Renner, you've got everything right now. You have incredible facilities. God has brought an under-shepherd that can deliver the word of God like maybe very few in America. God has given you an A-team staff. And come on, some of the greatest believers in America are sitting out here right now. The only problem is you got to pull up the tent peg now and you got to go forward. You got to take your step of faith. Brother Shelley, what do you think will happen to the campus church in the next 50 years? Well, I'm definitely expecting the Lord to come, but I will tell you something. If he does tarry, this will be determined by how the members of the campus church take their steps of faith and trust God of what God could do with this church in this area. By the way, you're putting your faith in God. It's not like you're doing this. But that's, by the way, that's all they did. That's all he told them to do. Just tell them to pull up the tent peg. Tell them to go forward. Pull up the tent peg. I'll take care of the Red Sea. I'll do it all. But you got to believe me. By the way, that's how a person comes to know Christ. You got to pull up your tent peg and say, I trust Jesus Christ. I believe he's the way. You got to do that. I'm ready to pull my tent peg up. What do you need? You need some help. I'm willing to go in that children's ministry. You know what? I'll pull my tent peg up and I'll do the nursery thing. I'm going to trust God. I don't think I really fit this. It's going to be a step of faith, but I'm going to pull my tent peg up. Folks, what you have here, you've got to be stewards of. And you pull that tent peg up and take your step of faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's what I'm going to ask. No bowing heads, no closing eyes. If you can say before God, Lord, I'm ready to take my step of faith. Now, you know what? By the way, some of you got some major decisions to make in your life right now. And maybe it's not specifically connected with the campus church, but you'd say, Brother Shetler, God's not going to do anything else until I pull my tent peg up. And I am ready. There is a step I need to take, and I want people to pray for me. I want to be accountable. Or you'd stand and say, by God's grace and for God's glory, I'm ready to see what the Lord could do in our life and in our church. And Brother Shetler, I'm ready to pull the tent peg up and go forward for God. You say, you know what? I want to pull my tent peg up and I want to take my step of faith for God's glory. There's an area in my life right now where, you know what? God's not going to do anything else until I pull my tent peg up. Father, thank you, Lord, for the great music we've heard today. But, oh, Father, I just take a moment. I want to thank you for what you have done by your grace and glory for 50 years here. But, Father, we don't know what we got left in our lives and in our country. We need a church that starts becoming salt and light. Give us salt and light out of this church. May they pull up their tent peg and start talking to people. Start witnessing. Start sharing and not live in a little perfect little bubble called the campus church. God, we need to pull up our tent pegs and we need to go forward. May everything we do at the church here be evangelism and discipleship. Help them, Father. Thank you, Lord, for this 50th anniversary. Some of the greatest days that Marilee and I have ever lived have been lived with this flock. And Father, I pray that the future would be great. May we go forward for you and pull up our tent pegs. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
We're glad you joined us for Rejoice in the Lord as we've discovered answers to life's questions from God's Word. For a recording of today's message, The Purpose of the Church, call, write, or go online. Include a gift of $7.50 for a CD or $15 for a DVD. Write us at Rejoice in the Lord, Pensacola, Florida, 32523, or call 1-800-223-9727. Messages are also available on iTunes when you search Rejoice TV, or find us on YouTube by searching Rejoice in the Lord. Your financial support is vital to keep Rejoice on the air. Your tax-deductible gift enables this viewer-supported ministry to spread the gospel around the world, encouraging Christians and reaching people for Jesus. This is Rejoice in the Lord.